we light this candle to be reminded of the presence of Christ with us in each place where we are gathered. We acknowledge as well that we are gathered on Indigenous lands, that for me, these lands are those of the Squamish, the Musqueam, and the Tsleil-Waututh, who have stewarded these lands, cared for them since time immemorial. It's Jody Sparger here, and I want to welcome you into this new experiment in our life together of distanced worship. This week and for some coming weeks, we are going to experiment with an audio version of our service, which doesn't mean just taking what we normally do and putting it in an audio format, but actually asking how this format might shape us and serve us in particular ways. So you're going to have the opportunity to hear some great interviews that Melanie has done with some kids later on in the service. We're going to enter into worship a little bit differently. And your eyes are going to be free as your ears are open to listen. Your eyes and your hands and your bodies will be free to move about and to think about how it is that you interact with and enter into this act of worship together remotely. And so you might need something to do with your hands. Sometimes I like to play with clay or maybe color or something like that. So if you need some supplies for the next little bit that will help your ears be open and your heart to be engaged. If you are on your own and you want to take a walk while you listen to this, I would invite that. Even though our format is shifting, the piece that remains is that God is with us. And our reasons why we normally gather together in shared space is to worship God. And while we don't have that shared space in which to gather, we do not lose our opportunity or our need to enter into worship of the true, the holy, and the loving God, who is with us and for us.
At this point, we usually enter into song as an expression of worship of our God. I want to change that pattern just a little bit today. Be reminded that the psalmist in particular declares that all of creation bears witness to the character, the nature of God, the Creator. So I want to invite us into worship this morning with the creation as we listen to the sounds. May they shape our prayers. May they shape our imaginations. Who do you hear? What do they tell you about God this day?
Thank you, birds, and trees, breeze, rocks, water, for the ways that you have led us in worship, pointed us to your Creator, have slowed us down to listen to your songs of praise. May we join our songs with yours. I wanted to take just a moment to talk a little more about why we've gone to this format. And one of the reasons is we want to, as we press into this idea of joining Jesus on the journey, we want to press into the idea that Jesus is with us where we are. And there's something about being able to take the sound of this podcast with you while you move around in ways that maybe we wouldn't take video form, that we hope will remind you that Jesus is where you are, and that we are invited into worship in those very mundane spaces that we inhabit every day, that the mundane is actually made holy by the presence of the triune God who is with us in every place. And that we also wanted to just get back to some basics. What is it that it is that we are to do and to be as we follow Jesus in a pandemic, when we can't gather for worship in the ways that we have been accustomed to doing? And so we're reminded of the conversation that Jesus had with the rich young ruler about what is it that is essential. Love God and love your neighbor. So what does it mean for us to lean into those things, to our love of God and to our love of neighbor? Maybe even to get to the place of loving our enemy. So Melanie and some kids have had a conversation about who is our neighbor? What does it mean to love our neighbor? What does it mean to love God? I want to invite you to listen in to their conversation now.
Sadie and Caleb and Amalia, Molly, who's up on top of their quite tall fence right now, balancing quite well. We're talking about neighbor. Oh, there's Mary Carol driving by. Bye, Mary Carol.
Yeah.
Neighbors? We're talking about neighbors quite a bit with church this month, and I wanted to ask you guys if you had any thoughts and ideas about neighbors. For one thing, when I say the word neighbor, what do you think? How would you describe a neighbor?
I think
what's that, Mom?
I think friends are like people you know who live near you.
Okay. Sadie, what were you thinking?
I think nice people you know, and people you that friends, like Molly said. Molly. And anyway, and I think because we have really great neighbors, right? And because we're moving, we're leaving behind, but we really do like them, right?
And Sadie, how would you describe a great neighbor?
A great neighbor. A person who always comes over when you yell their name. They don't just wave and keep going.
Huh.
I think they're a kind person that you can trust. You ask them for sugar when you don't have it.
Yeah.
And
they're
not really strangers to you.
Not strangers to you.
I also have another definition of a neighbor.
Okay.
My favorite.
Yeah.
So, like Jesus. Oh, hi, Quinn.
Hi.
How are you? Good. How are you?
Good.
Sadie, are these some of your neighbors?
My friends from school. Anyway.
Jesus said a story about a man, and he got attacked by robbers, right?
Uh-huh.
When somebody asked him, and only one person stopped, other people went away, and
then he said, who would be the neighbor then? And it was the person who stomped.
Hmm.
So, also, a neighbor would be a person who... What?
Would help you.
Yeah, would help you.
When you were sad.
Caleb, can you think of any people like that?
Friends?
People who are neighbors to you?
Well, you really can't know if somebody will come along and just help you.
Yeah, but maybe Caleb's actually experienced that. Not with being beat up, but like some other time someone's helped.
I remember when Dad, like, we have this thing that we have to buzz into our apartment, mm-hmm. and it would call the home phone in our home.
Yeah.
And you'd have to, like, press 9 to put them in on the phone. And so Mom and Dad weren't answering the phone, so I just called Jenny and Steve, and they let me in because they knew who I was.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Because they knew you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definition of neighbor.
Are there any neighbors that live close to you guys that you don't actually know very well? You maybe don't know their name, or you like maybe know their name and you recognize them, but you don't know that much about them.
Yeah. You can't really know the full, like, know everything about someone. You just know them and don't, yeah.
Just, like, enough to recognize them?
Yeah.
Is there anything that you're curious about those neighbors?
Not really.
There's one neighbor of mine, I just learned her name a couple weeks ago because she was coming outside for pots and pans at 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Margaret, but I don't really know anything about her except that she's a really good gardener. She's got beautiful flowers, and that I used to see her grandkids come over a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're her grandkids, but now since COVID, I think I've only seen them once. They came and like stood in the front yard. So I'm like super curious to know if she like talks on the phone with them, or maybe she gets to see them sometime and I just didn't notice, or I'm really curious about that. I haven't asked her yet.
I'm curious about all my neighbors. I'm curious to know how many members they have in their family.
Hmm.
They have a pretty big family. And they have parties a lot, so we can hear the music through the walls. And like super loud bass, and it was like boom, 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 boom.
And you can hear the vibrations in our place. And they're nice people though.
Next to us, in a house, we have neighbors and they're all engineers and they're really smart. And I don't know very much about them. I just know one of their names, and her name is Neville.
Like Neville Longbottom?
Yeah.
That's a great name.
Except she's a girl.
Okay. Are you curious about anything about her that you'd like to know?
Not really. And one of them is really, he's making like some sort of wood structure in the front yard.
Do you know what it is?
It's a garden. It's a garden box. He's really into gardening.
Okay, cool. How do you think God loves your neighbors? How would you be able to tell God is loving your neighbors?
Can I answer that question?
Yeah, please do, Caitlin.
I feel like God loves our neighbors through me.
Huh.
And moves me to help them feel loved.
Do you feel like God loves you through your neighbors?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Can you think of an example?
Particularly, there might be a day when Theo's having a hard day, or a day when Amalia was coming from home from school and she was a little bit grumpy, and Michael makes an effort to connect with them and find out how their day is. Oh.
And once Allison gave Theo a feel better card.
She did. Mm. She gave him, he was having a bit of a moment. Many moments, and we were having a time in our car in the front of the house, and she came out, knocked on the window, and gave him a card that said, I'm sorry you're having a good day, or having a bad day. We love you.
All right, any last things that anyone wants to say about neighbors?
Pretty good.
pretty great.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Appreciate your time.
Oh, I'm fine with you taking our time because I never want to leave.
My last question for you all is, are you okay with people in the church hearing what you said? If we put that on the internet, thumbs up.
Yep.
Awesome. Thank you guys.
Thanks, Melanie and Caitlin, Caleb, Sadie and Molly. And now we turn our attention to the reading of Scripture. Brendan Morey.
The scripture reading for this Sunday is from the book of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 to 36. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and, beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" When they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. This is the word of the Lord.
Jesus withdrew to a quiet place to pray. So easily we lose that beginning of the story. And for me, so readily am I distracted in that place of withdrawing. Even today, I've been wandering about the neighborhood looking for the quiet place to record from. The quiet place to bring you, to be reminded of God's presence, to remind us to pray in quiet places beside still waters. And over again, I find spaces where the SkyTrain roars, where the hydraulic nail gun pops, where the children scream and argue, where the weed whacker whirs. And in these places, I am convicted. For I have been running from the ways that God is present right here. I have failed to enter into worship in this space because I have looked at the distractions. I have looked at the waves that look like they might overwhelm. Rather than looking at and for the face of Jesus, the still small voice of the one who whispers even in the midst of the chaos and the cacophony. But I invite us to tune our ears in new ways, to hear in the rush of the wind not just an imperfect environment
in which to record. To hear in the roar of the SkyTrain not just an interruption, but an opportunity to be pointed towards prayer. An opportunity to invite God to tune my ears to the needs of our community, to the concerns of my neighbors, to the presence and nearness of God, no matter the space I inhabit. I don't know about you, but I'm struggling this week with lifted restrictions because the world feels like it's gotten too loud, too quickly for me. And maybe that's what Peter felt like in the boat. Maybe that's why he asked Jesus to call him to walk on the water. Maybe it was because he thought coming out to Jesus would be a transition from the spaces that were overwhelming and distracting, the spaces that seemed untenable. And instead, as he stepped on the water, he found himself at greater risk, greater vulnerability, greater distraction. And in that space, Jesus reaches out and catches him. In that space, Jesus invites faith. As Jesus extends his hand to you, what would it mean for you to reach out and to take his hand? What would it mean for you to reach out to a neighbor, whether they be stranger or friend, to extend your hand as an expression of the love of God extended to your neighbor? What would it mean to extend your hand to the neighbor who is a stranger or a friend, and to receive their love as a sign of God's love for you? May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you. May he bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May you extend that blessing to the neighbors around you, be they friend or stranger.